world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got to admit, this one's a little bit different here this morning, folks. I'm in Wisconsin. Maybe that's why I'm in Wisconsin, and I can't seem to get online here with my camera. My marvelous camera crew is doing everything they can to get us up and gone. Ray LeBlanc, I can see your face. Give me a thumbs up. Can you hear me at least?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, okay, you guys can hear me. And while we're doing this, I'm still messing around on my phone, trying to get it on my phone. I don't know. I got a new phone. I don't know what my password is on my new phone, so I'm trying to make this thing work. We're in Wausau, Wisconsin, for Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News event. And Johnny, I apologize to you, man. I got some links I sent to you. I can't even get them up here on the screen. So this is going to be, you guys are the star day. In fact, one of the things I'm supposed to be doing is Leighton Howerton's here with us, and I'm trying to turn the camera on. Hey, no, didn't work, John, huh? Leighton Howerton's going to come down and join me. I'm Twix and Tween. But before we get there, it is Friday morning. It is communion time. And maybe while we get old Joe in here and get us going with communion, I can figure out what the heck's going on here. So, Joe, if you would, brother, come on in and lead us in communion. Again, folks, I apologize. I'm clicking everything that I should have to click here on my computer. And it just ain't coming up for me yet. Come on in, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jonathan, if you know my Google password, text it to me. I don't know if I have it. Go ahead.
Producer, if we can have the verses a little bit improved so I can read. Morning, everybody. The reading this morning is Romans 5, 12 to 21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for it was by one to condemnation, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many of offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they would which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's obedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts for all you've done for us and for all you're doing today, for the changes you're making in our government, for the food on our tables, for the warmth coming from our heaters, for the wonderful sunny days that many of us are enjoying. And we're grateful, Lord, that vengeance is yours, because we're not wise enough to have that responsibility, but you are. Our hearts can feel and know when unrighteousness abounds, when injustice occurs. And we know with the recent Supreme Court vote in Wisconsin that unrighteousness was in that tally, that the end result is a lie. And Lord, you do not like liars. That the vote was stolen. And Lord, we know that you do not like thieves. And Lord, we're grateful for the authority you have given us and for the word. And we state now and remind and bring your word back to you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, Isaiah 54:17. So let this victory they have had on the Supreme Court be very short-lived. Let the truth about this election come out, and let all those involved willingly pay the highest judicial price that they are required to pay for this, whatever that may be, up to and including treason. For this is your election too, Lord. Let all those involved be exposed. Let this be the beginning of the exposing of the truth behind the stolen elections that we have endured and lived with for so many years. Let all of them be brought to light where we have the evidence, Lord. Where we don't have it, give it to us, Lord. And be with all of us on this call, this modern miracle of communication that lets us from all so many parts of this wonderful, great country you've given us and put into our hands as we regain authority and political control of this country, Lord, let us not close our eyes and presume someone else is doing it correctly. Let us remain involved so what happened to the last generation does not ever happen again. And we remember that this communion is the meal that heals. It can be that. And we remind all to add to your prayer as I am praying to receive the healing that you need in your body or your soul or your spirit or in your finances or in your relationships. Nothing is beyond the power of the Holy Spirit to fix and correct. Just receive and surrender to it and let the healing happen. Let God's will happen. He does not want us sick. He does not want us wounded. He wants us joyful. He wants us strong. He wants us supporting each other and united, but united in righteousness, not united with the unjust, but with the righteous united together. And Lord, we're so grateful that we worship the one true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we remember that Last Supper so many years ago. And we ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed and sacrificed and broken for us. And Lord, we ask that you bless this bread and this drink. We ask that you forgive us our sins and our transgressions. Bring us cleansed into your sight as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus...
Joe, hang on a second. I'm sorry. Just before we take communion, part of the... we're praying against... We have the Liberty Action Network prayer event that we're doing right now. We're supposed, part of what we're supposed to do today is read Psalm 4. Could you pull up Psalm 4 for us? I can't really see the screen real good here. Maybe somebody out there could read Psalm 4, and then Joe take us into communion from there. Okay, brother? Who will volunteer to read Psalm 4?
I can do it if you'd like, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead and read Psalm 4 this morning.
Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame?
Amen.
How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Uh,
Amen, Joe. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you,
California, late in
thank you, Coach.
Johnny, I can't get my camera going. What the heck am I doing wrong here this morning, you think, John? It says I gotta load in my Google password. I don't have any idea what my Google. Folks, I am in Leighton Howerton sitting there right beside me, even though you can't see me. We're in, where the heck are we?
Wausau.
Wausau, Wisconsin, for Rob Pugh's great Wisconsin Christian News event. Starts tonight. And God, I got a lot of stories I want to tell, a lot of things I want to God winks. You know what? God winks. There's Leighton. You're up there on the screen, Leighton, even though we can't see you live, live here this morning. And just a lot of miracles going on all around us. I don't know if you guys sense it. I don't know. You know, we did the show yesterday. We're talking about something's happening here. What it is, not ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me we've got to beware. There's a lot of stuff going on. We had a miracle here we went to the Planned Parenthood, right, Johnny? Try to pull up for me. So even though I can't see it, Lane, I'll get you in here in a second. Hang on.
No problem.
I know we're cool. Folks, I'm so discombobulated here this morning, trying to figure out what's going on. Where is it? Folks, we went to Planned Parenthood. You know that, right? We went to Planned Parenthood. You know the Planned Parenthood? Do you know that right now where you at, wherever you are, do you know not only did the did the Supreme Court return abortion back to the states? But our state of Ohio, through probably, as we're finding out, all of our elections are corrupted. They're all corrupted. All of our elections are being bought. This money, this literally millions and millions of dollars that is going to Planned Parenthood. Folks, Planned Parenthood does not need our money to kill babies. They don't. If you want to kill your baby, go in and pay the fee and kill the baby. Go ahead and do that. But we shouldn't have to pay it. Well, Donald Trump, say what you want to say about him. Keep your eye open. Watch every movie he makes. I don't know if he's a Mason. I don't know. He's doing a lot of good stuff. Donald Trump has stripped Planned Parenthood of their government money. Did you know that, Leighton? That happened yesterday. Look at that. This letter follows on the heads of President Donald Trump freezing, folks, $120 million. Of our tax dollars are going to kill babies. Now, can I tell you something? Because of Doge and all that stuff's going on, they ain't using that money to kill babies. They're lining the pockets of other people. The exact same thing continuing to go on. So I just want to acknowledge that to Mark Harrington and those folks that have created Equal and all around the world. Johnny, I can't see anything. I sent you another link about that. About Planned Parenthood. Is that the one you're looking at there, John? Yeah, more than 150 pro-life leaders. This is going on nationwide. Folks, do you think it's possible that the body of Christ could wake up and arise up and say no more federal funding for the murder of babies? How hard would that be to do? How hard would that be for the church to do? And again, I've had a great discussion with Leighton yesterday at dinner talking about Trump. Do we trust Trump? Folks, I'm telling you, I don't know. But for a guy who's a Mason and a guy who's playing for the other team, he's doing a lot of stuff. He's causing a lot of fumbles for our team, isn't he? All we got to do is scoop and score, pick up the ball and run with it. Instead of us sitting around and waiting for Donald Trump to do something, why don't we? He opened the door there. Federal funding, no more. Are we going to ever allow them to continue? So that's a biggie this morning. And again, I apologize on my own technology over here. Why we're not going on here. I asked Leighton to get up early this morning here. Put his Facebook page up there for us. This guy is, he's like Dave Allison. Sorry, Dave. This Leighton Howerton is full of wisdom, man. former pastor, not pastor anymore, right?
Yeah, not pastor.
You guys can't see us. Retired pastor, but he's a recording artist. He touches people through his music. My wife's trying to help. Hey, my wife's coming down. I can't get on, sweetheart. I love you. But Layton's here, and he's going to make a presentation today. But he and I were discussing yesterday. Can you see it, honey?
I'm trying to get you on.
Okay, she's my wife's working over here.
Keep going.
I will. Thanks, Chad. Chad, I love Chad, man. He's always encouraging me. Because I'm really flying blind here. I can't see anything or anything other than Layton, who's sitting right beside me. So I'm going to bring Layton in. He can play some music for us. Doesn't have his guitar. He's got some great music on there, like Dave Allison does as well. Maybe we'll play one of them here in a second. Which one should we play, though, Layton, on your Facebook page?
You like that Louisville Slugger song.
I love that Louisville
Slugger. I don't know which ones are on the
okay,
that page.
Okay, actually, so Layton, you're live and in color, even though they all can see you. Yeah, okay. We just can't see it.
All right.
Go ahead and talk a little
well,
bit.
Well, you know, it's like just something a little note, you know, about my history. I'm third generation minister and pastor. And when we were taking the Lord's Supper, it reminded me of, you know, I'm very strong in the military.
Mm.
Very strong in the military. And the reason why, partially, is my father was in the Air Force as a chaplain. And something you don't know about me, but my grandfather.
There he is. Can you find us, Johnny?
Yeah.
My wife's phone, we can see you.
She found it. Okay. But we were taking the Lord's Supper, and I thought about my father, who serves as a chaplain in the Korean War. And then also my grandfather. I have on my wall at the place I have out in Montana, my grandfather's seminary degree from 1912.
Oh, my Lord.
And I have photos of him. He's a chaplain in the U.S. Cavalry in France in World War I in Germany. And I have all his paraphernalia. I have his leggings that he wore on his horse and photos of him baptizing men in the Rhine River.
Wow.
And it reminded me of when we took the Lord's Supper this morning about being warriors for God and peacemakers for God. You follow me?
So,
but taking the Lord's Supper touched me because I thought about, you know, the state we're in America. And you know, you just said something about we need to take the initiative.
We said the other day, Layton, the whole creation grown up waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right? And for us to move forward as the body of Christ and not place our faith in any man other than the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who is our true leader.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, we represented the Lord, and I thought about, man, here I am at 68 years of age, you're 72, and my grandfather, back in World War I, was leading men spiritually in the midst of a major world war.
Wow.
You know, and baptizing him and giving him the Lord's Supper and administering it. But I thought about, we need to pick up the mantle of these great saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. We need to pick the mantle up, but we need to do it in a way that is peaceful, loving, and kind of show them the true light of Christ.
Psalm 78, pull up Psalm 78, Johnny, because it's what Layton's talking about, right? And Layton, I'm going to have you, since Jonathan, can you see us, Johnny? Do you see John Layton and I on our call? Yes, sir. Oh my goodness, I'm on my wife's phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have Layton Howerton right now is going to read you Psalm 78. Layton, it's going to be up on the screen. Let me move this thing. And folks, this is where I believe we are. Again, remember the whole. Thank you, Lord. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. And the debate I have all the time, Layton, back and forth, and we're not going to have that debate right here today, is this the end times, or is it just the end of our times, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that maybe your grandfathers thought the same thing, right? They thought maybe on the Sunday, tomorrow could come tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
And they're telling us right now that, you know, we're going to go into nuclear war, and then all the Bible theorists get out there and say, well, gee, just what the Bible says is going to happen. We're going to be out. Well, what if we're not? What if it's another 100 years? What if it's another 1,000 years? What if this technology we have is going to create a world and an environment beyond what we can even imagine? And here we sit playing tiddlywinks, thinking it's all over look, folks, I love the scripture. I'm like all those Christians who say, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not true. Because you can make the Bible say a lot of different things, can't you?
Well, theologically, to back that up, it's just like the Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own.
Amen.
Get busy with today.
Amen.
That's you know, and I mean, world religion will teach us, but also the Lord was the author of it, says, live in the now. That's what he's saying to us. Live in the now, in the present.
Don't
be focused on what's going to come tomorrow or the next month or whatever.
Amen.
Be focused on what's going on today. And here's the point, so that you can take action, that your action follow through with your faith.
Amen.
You know, so
amen. Amen.
Want me to read this?
Yeah. So, Spence, Johnny, you're going to, I don't even know what kind of picture everybody's seeing out there. Okay, good. Okay, thank you, John. I'll turn. Johnny just told me a hint there. So Leighton is going to read to us Psalm 78, which is what we were just talking about. Okay, folks, Christianity is a tag team handoff.
Yeah.
It's a tag team handoff here. And just listening to him, how a line of preachers?
Yeah.
You come from a line of preachers? Geez, I came from a line of factory workers, I think. I don't know, right? Something to it. Go ahead, Leighton. I'm going to get this. Jonathan, what do I have to do?
Turn the camera on.
Turn the camera on. Oh, my goodness. That turns it off. Go ahead, Leighton.
All right. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done.
Here it is, folks.
For he has established testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commands our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And
might not be as
their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
Let's stop right there. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows,
turned back in the day of
battle. They got on the internet and they theorized about what was going to go on around them, right? And they forgot his marvelous works and all the wonders that he had showed him, folks.
Yeah.
And as if you listen to the show regularly, Johnny, I don't know why I can't get this other one working. Michelle! Jeez.
Let's look back at this verse here, verse 10.
Okay.
And they kept not the covenant of God.
Amen.
And refused to walk in his law.
That's right.
So a covenant, as you and I know, is a peace treaty between God. The old covenant, the Ten Commandments, was a peace treaty. God just said, hey, if you do this, then we're going to be okay. Well, the new covenant in Jesus Christ gives us a rule, and that rule is to follow through with the peace treaty between Christ and us. It doesn't do away with the old, as Jesus said.
Right.
We still keep that covenant, but the bottom line is we have a responsibility. In a peace treaty, who's breaking it? God never breaks his
word. Never does. No.
He hasn't. It's men.
Mm.
And it's his followers. And so our covenant with Christ in his blood and his love and everything else is, let's keep our end of the deal if we want to be at peace.
It doesn't matter to me whether you keep it or not. I got to keep it.
Yeah, I got to keep it. So we can actually look at the church in America here. Have they kept the peace treaty of the new covenant?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you following me, brother?
Yep.
Have they kept it? Why is there so much dysfunction, so much fractionalization of everything? It's because I believe in my heart, not slaying the church. I love the bride of Christ.
Me too.
Bride of Christ.
Me too.
But I'm saying is, if we kept the peace treaty, maybe America wouldn't be in the shape it did. Are you following me, bro?
Well, because the whole world groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for God's people to come. And Leighton, they've told us over and over and over and over in our churches, don't mix religion and politics, right? We don't preach politics from our pulpit, and look at the mess that we have, right?
Yeah.
Because politics is simply a belief system by a group of people. They call it politics, but it's nothing more than a doctrine of a belief system that we're trying to teach to our children. And the other side said, don't push your morality on me. And when they said, don't push your morality on me, they said, don't push the gospel of Jesus Christ on me. We're going to have a different gospel and a different kingdom going here in America. And we said, okay. So we'll go to our churches on Sunday and we'll teach our children this. And then on Monday morning, we will put our children into the government churches called schools, and we will train them in the ways of the world, and soon there won't be any understanding at all. But what did, hey, Jonathan, what does my wife need to turn on this phone? Your camera. You have to turn your camera on, sweetie. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You want me to read the rest?
No, we're done. We're done. That's all. Okay. That's all we needed to do.
All right. Well, no. You know, one of the key words you said too was the word.
Right, he says he can't see us.
Waiting for the manifestation.
Waiting for the man.
Let's wait. Break that down. Waiting for the man. Waiting for. There's a great story you tell about. You'll have to find someone else, right?
Yeah.
Looking for someone waiting else. For the man to do it. The manifestation in us.
That's us. That's
we
us.
Are to be doing it, not waiting on. Only if you follow what I'm saying about down there you are.
John, do you have us now? We see us. So listen. So let me. I'm trying to get close to the camera here so I can get in your face. They can't see me, Johnny. I don't know why they can't. I don't get it. My wife thought you did. Listen, folks. Donald Trump. Hey, church. Donald Trump just said no more money to Planned Parenthood. Donald Trump just said that, church. Now, what's the church going to do? What's the church going to do? Is Donald?
Hi, Michelle.
What's that?
We can see.
Do you see me? Do you see me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness! We're live and in color. Now I feel like normal. Now, thanks, Michelle. You guys see us? Okay. Somebody say, "Yeah, I see you, Coach."
Yeah, we see.
No,
it.
I don't.
Oh, all right. Finally. So now I'm gonna let Leighton talk a minute, and then Johnny, I'm gonna find a song of his that I'm gonna shoot your way and you're gonna play. And let's open it up. Hey Chad, I need you to be a moderator. I can't see nothing, Chad. All right. If somebody wants to come in, let them come in. Or Leighton, keep on going. I'll show you.
Well, I'm gonna share. You know I'm a storyteller.
I do. Let Leighton keep going.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna share a little story. All right. And it's a story from my life experience. Have you ever done much hunting or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so hopefully there's a point to this about we need to circle back, brother.
Yeah, right, man.
Are you following me?
I do.
You need to circle back. You know, if you get lost, what do? You circle back to the point, okay? Right. So this is a little
story.
They can
see here now.
I'm going to share about my experience with one of my sons that's been published. The first year my youngest son was old enough to start mule deer hunting, I set my Stormy Cromer, you know what that is, right?
Yeah,
Stormy Cromer hat, my cap, in a direction for him to not only fill out his deer tag, but to share with him some of the life lessons I'd learned from my life in the woods, as he said, that hopefully he'd carry with him throughout his lifetime. My youngest son, and he's now 34, okay, out of the four sons I have. As I have in my life, one of those life lessons was this. After many mornings and evening attempts together, when my son and I had returned to the truck, he remarked, "Dad, how do you always know where the truck is and how to get back to it?" Well, in the mountains of Wyoming and Montana, this can be very difficult at times in traversing the lay of the land. Are you hearing me, Coach?
I'm listening.
So I replied to my son, "It's easy. I always make."
Coach, you muted that one, so the other ones when he needed mute.
Okay.
All right, I heard you there. Keep going. It's like herding cats today.
It's like herding cats. Now can y'all hear us?
Yes, we can hear you and see you. Go.
Are you getting feedback?
Yes.
It's not coming out of this one, is it?
It's not this one.
What a country.
Boom, Chad.
Somebody's got an echo. Is it you?
No.
You got too many devices right there in that area.
Too many devices.
We are about to have an ascension. We're about to have an ascension.
Make building.
We're going to listen to him on this one. Is that okay?
There you go, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, go.
Unfortunately, you know what he looks like, okay? You aren't going to see him. Keep going, Leighton.
So did you ever hear any of that?
Yeah, well, take it again. You're out hunting. Go ahead. Start at the beginning.
right. So this story is called First Circle Back. I'll start again if you couldn't hear it. The first year my youngest son was old enough to start mule deer hunting, I set my Stormy Cromer cap in a direction for him to not only fill out his deer tag, but to share with him some of the life lessons that I've learned from my life in the woods, they say, that hopefully he'd carry with him throughout his lifetime, as I have in mine. One of those life lessons was this. After many morning and evening attempts together, when my son and I had returned to the truck, he remarked, "Dad, how do you always know where the truck is? And how do you
always know where the truck is?
In the mountains of Wyoming and Montana, this can be difficult at times in traversing the lay of the land." So I replied, "It's easy, son. I always make a circle. Wherever I start from, if I go right, I keep bearing right. If I go left, I keep bearing left. So I always circle back to where I began."
Amen.
Through the use of an internal compass. Now, you and I, fellas, gals, we all have this self-same internal compass. We always know where we are from the point of where we began in everything we do. For this internal compass is this Holy Spirit of Christ within us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following the code?
I am.
We know the direction we're going, either right or left, to our center point, who is Christ himself, and how not to get lost, stumped, or tripped up, okay? No matter how difficult the terrain may become or be. The Bible says the Lord grants success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. If he trips, he will not let him fall headlong, for the Lord holds his hand. That's Psalm 37,
mm-hmm.
23, 24. So what's the lay of the land look like in the traverse you're making through the woods of your home, business, or relationships look like today? Are you feeling lost, stumped, or tripped up? How does it feel about your politics, everything else? Are you feeling lost, stumped, or tripped up, or frustrated in the thick of them things that may be hindering your success in any of these areas of your life?
Mm.
Could your internal compass, the Holy Spirit, be indicating to you the need to circle back so you can get to where you're going in the center of God's will? So whether you're going right or left in your trek, trust your internal compass, the Holy Spirit. He'll help you navigate and circle back through the toughest of terrain.
Mm.
I say we're in some pretty tough terrain.
And we better circle back, right?
Yeah, and we better trust the Holy Spirit. You know, we're talking about, men can do things. They are ordained of God in many ways, our leaders, those kind of things, but we still need to trust our internal compass. And as we had a great discussion yesterday, you need to keep your eyes open. You need to watch, as the Bible says.
Watch what's going on. Jonathan, I just sent to your personal Layton's International Harvester. Let's get that ready. Chad, is there anybody who wants to raise their hand, wants to come in here? Because I got to tell you something, we kind of been all
no,
over.
No, keep going.
I want to keep going. What's wrong with the church, Layton? Former pastor.
Yeah.
Former Nashville star, still Nashville star, whatever you want to say. What's going on? And by the way, he told me yesterday this also. Nashville's corrupt too. It's just like everything else.
Yeah, it's like everything else. It's no different than, it's like, I think part of the problem we're facing is, and it's generational, to be honest with you. It's the battle, the classic battle. You know, the Bible talks about the spiritual warfare we're in.
Right.
Well, here's the spiritual warfare in a layman's term. It's the battle of ego against the soul.
Hmm.
So wherever the ego enters in is the part of us that wants to succeed, wants to be successful, known, have validation, all those things. That's not soul. That's ego.
Mm-hmm, gotcha.
And so the ego enters into everything. It's in the music business.
What's in it for me? Huh?
It's in the church. It's in everything. And we see it everywhere. From leaders of both political persuasions, we see it in the church where ego commands, I'm the authoritarian here, I'm the one in charge,
I'm the coach,
I'm God's chosen,
I'm coach,
and all that stuff. Now, that's not a reference to our president or anything else. That's a reference to our attitude. And so what has happened basically in the church is they've succumbed to the spiritual warfare that's going on that God set in motion between the battle of human ego and will over soul and his will. Now, we see there are followers of Jesus Christ. You know, it's like Gandhi said, man, I don't have a problem with Jesus. It's his followers. Yeah. I can't. The bottom line of it is that's true.
That's right.
For most of us that have been in the church, including myself, I'll be open and honest about it. I don't go to church. I was offered a new pastorate last year to come out of retirement.
First former pastor.
And
you don't go to church.
So I went and supplied for this particular church, loving dear, they're sweet people. But the minute I got in there, I'm savvy enough at 68 years old, 40-some years in ministry and pastoral ministry, to recognize the first thing you do is you look for the pick people, the power, influence, control people.
Wow, they're everywhere.
You look for the influencers. You know what? After the first Sunday I supplied, the influencers came to me. You know what I told them? I won't jump through your hoops. Because the bottom line is,
I won't jump through your hoops.
This is exactly what goes on in the church. If it's not the pastor controlling things, it's a group of individuals who have power, influence, and control, and they want to exercise it over. And that's not spiritual. That's ego.
Mm.
And so it's infiltrated everything. It's in the church. It's in our businesses. It's in our politics. It's everything. It's all about the battle, the real spiritual battle that Paul talked about, of the soul versus the ego. And so the journey with Jesus Christ is always about, here, look at Peter. Man, you talk about an egocentric dude, man. Look at the Apostle Peter. To the softest, most incredible person. That look at his writings, man. Look at the way he spoke in the gospel of Jesus to his own writings. He became the soft, because the journey with Jesus Christ actually softens us.
Mm.
It softens us in a way. We're savvy.
Gets rid
we're
of
wise,
ego.
We're wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we also become mature in Christ through the discipleship of that, and we become softer. We begin to understand. And how is that? We open our eyes. We open our ears. And it softens us in a way where, yeah, we can be resilient. We're to stand fast. We're to do the things that God has called us to do. But it also causes us to have a spirit about us that is winning the battle over ego. If we talk about the sanctification process that goes on in all of us, where God says, do you need the Holy Spirit reveals us, get rid of that, man. What's he telling us to get rid of? It's ego.
So, folks, look. So yesterday, 2 days ago, I got a request. Listen, you don't know who it is, okay? If you're going to try to figure out who it is, you don't know who it is. I got a request from somebody who needs some financial help. And we're ministry. And can I tell you what my first response was? Hi, sweetie. I said, my first response was, don't hear what I'm not saying. My first response was, you ready?
Yeah.
Well, they ever given that thing to me? That was my first response in my heart, right?
Yeah, ego.
What, me, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They've never given to me. Why would I give to them? They've been following along on this show for 6 years. They ain't never given me a dime. Well, that was, folks, I'm telling you, that was my first response.
Yeah.
Right? You know what the Holy Spirit said? Wow. I mean, you talk about humbling. He said, well, where'd you get what you got? That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where did you get what you got? Man, oh, man, Leighton, you're so over it, because we live in a world, whether we want to know it or not, we live in a world where it is all about personality. Mm-hmm. Our entire culture is personality driven. They make stars for us.
Yeah.
They determine who the star. They just determine that Leighton Howerton is going to be a star in Nashville, and they promote you up that ladder. Not because they want to promote you, but because they're going to make money off of you.
That's right.
They're going to get influence off of you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm his manager. Oh, you are. You're Leighton. Well, come on in. That's the way this whole game is played, and it's no different inside the church. So I tell folks, because somebody accused me, said, well, I know who your bag man is. I know who's underwriting you. And I just wanted to laugh. Say, are you kidding me? The guy that you're telling me, he don't give any money to me. He don't give. See, folks, why? Because, hey, Chad, help me out there, Chad. Because Chad tells me all the time.
Go ahead.
Chad tells me all the time in private that he gets calls from people saying, hey, how do you get coach's ear? What? You mean, how do you get coaches? But that's a system that we're in,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
If you can get my ear, then you know you can make greater. Folks, you have the Lord's ear? The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to show up. What? People who are going to come and just do the Lord's will, whether they get patted on the back, whether they get money, whether they get famous. If we would just do that, then the kingdom would begin to expand. What do you think about that,
man? I think that's spot on.
That's where it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about whose ear you can get.
And so pastors are in competition.
Oh, yeah.
Pastors, how many you running? And yeah, we're doing this. We started this program.
Trust me, I grew up with it with my own father. At 14, I remember being at national conventions. My dad was a minister, a missionary, a seminary professor. I remember being at conventions with other ministers as a young boy, 13, 14 years old, and hearing the pastors that were around my father ask about how many baptisms, how many people got saved, everything, all the
scoreboard, right? The scoreboard.
Yeah, scoreboard. That's what we called it in the old church, you know, up on the wall.
Okay, so Leighton, let's play this song here. Hang on, folks. Leighton, explain. This is International Harvester. First time I heard Leighton play this, Rob Pugh, by the way, introduced me to Leighton. I thought, dude, is that ever it? Explain International Harvester.
Well, it's a tune that I wrote basically about, God has really blessed this song, man. It's been used by a lot of really great organizations that had the right mindset, the mind of Christ, let's put it that way. But long story short, it just popped out when I was pastoring in Riverton years ago, Wyoming. I was writing songs to go with my services. And this song came out in the fall of the year that I'd written. God just gave it to me. So I only planned for it to be sung one time. And actually, the version he's got up here is not one I'm real proud of because I was pretty hoarse at that time.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Long story short, that song, man, it's from my heart about who the actual International Harvester is. And plus, being raised in Kentucky on a farm, my grandfather's farm, he had IH.
International Harvester, for those of you who live in the city, International Harvester was a company that made combines, right? Yeah. So when you hear somebody talking about an International Harvester, you knew they were talking about a combine a tractor or something like that. Yeah. But it went out and reaped the fields, right? It got beans out of the field is what the International Harvester was. So I want you to hear Leighton's heart on this. I'm sorry, it's a bad one.
Okay, man. It's all right.
The International, folks, we're supposed to be harvesters. We're supposed to be harvesters. Go ahead and play that.
The harvest is past. The summer is gone. And still some are not seen. The workers in the field are few, just a skeleton crew. 'Cause all have not obeyed. But like a mighty combine, the master's gonna come and gather the Kansas to Capernaum, and you reclaim the lands the sin and death had won.
The International Harvester.
The International Harvester. Come.
Manifestation, the sons of God.
So don't you lose heart and grow weary, and you're well doing. Just keep your hand to the plow and don't you look back now. Just a word for the night is is gonna come and gather the wheat from Kansas to Capernaum, and you reclaim the lands the sin and death and wrong. And the International Harvester. For like a mighty
is gonna come. Gather the weak, cancers to be burned out.
Man, it's deep, isn't it? International Harvester. That's our job. Whole creation groaneth, waiting for manifestation of the sons of God. So Leighton and I have been on here about 50 minutes now. And this is a first. We've had nobody really comment. Anybody got something to say out there? Huh? Anybody for the good of the group? Because Leighton, I'm sitting there. I think, come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach. If we understand biblical time, we understand that the church, even if you're a Schofield into that, even we're in the church age, Coach. It is, I believe we're in the second age, which is the kingdom now, people. But Coach, either one, if you read Psalm 24:1 and you connect that with Romans 8:18-22, which you've been saying, about this is the time that Paul said it's the earth and the creation's waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. And he says, until now. So he knew he was already in the beginning of it, Coach. So if we miss that, Coach, then it's all we have is evangelism. And I believe in that, but we have a lot more. There's the kingdom of God is vast. It's so much bigger than just getting people saved to go to heaven.
Well, man.
It's about everything else, everything.
Randy, I was thinking, not to step on you. First of all, thanks for Betty for driving us up here, Betty. I just want to give you a pat on the back. Hey, friends, are you watching what's going on with the weather? I left Ohio. But from what I understand, it's a 500-year rain that's fallen down in that whole area, down through Kentucky. We had the wildfires that were going on. We have hurricanes. But, folks, something's going on, man. Something is going on. Now, those of you who listen know I'm not a date setter. I'm just telling you, I'm not an end times guy, because it doesn't have to be the end of my days for it to be the end of days. You understand what I'm saying? And all we have to do is look around and say, Lord, what is it? Apart from my pastor, what is it, Lord, you'd have me to do? What is it you'd have me to do? Because we're all going to stand before him, and we're going to give an account for all the deeds done, everything we did. Now, hang on. You're not going to be judged on whether you were a good boy or a bad boy. You're not going to be able to judge that. But I believe on that great day, there's going to be a Rolodex there's going to be a video playing of your life. And you're going to see, boy, I missed this, and I missed this, and I missed this. And I would just say to all of you out there, let's not miss where we are now. Let's not miss it. This is going to be the greatest, the revival. The Bible tells us, theology tells us, that the greatest revival the world has ever seen is in front of us. How do I know that? Because in the last days, he's going to pour out a spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters prophesy, young men dream dreams, old men see visions. I believe that's what's in front of us. And I would encourage you this morning, don't miss your turn at the plate. It's all around you. It's not on satellite TV. It's not on podcasts. It's in the everyday living and walking out of your life. Everywhere around you, there are people waiting, groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. At what point are we going to stand up and be the sons of God? When are we going to do it? But Leighton hit it, see? It's ego, isn't it, Leighton? Mm. It's ego.
Yeah.
We can't get by our own self-importance.
And so, I know you're big into this too, but honestly, I recognize that as a pastor, one thing we didn't teach in school. And we talked a lot about, you know, the emphasis being on getting souls saved, The problem that I came in 2 years ago, and I've spoken many times across different platforms about, we're failing to make disciples. Christ didn't talk to us about, make disciples. And the problem is, of course, we're interested in people coming into the Lord Jesus in personal relationship, his saving grace. But where we fail, and the church fails, is in making, listen to pulpits across the country. Listen to believers across the country. They're interested in issues, but they're not interested in the main issue. And the main issue is what Christ commanded us all to do. Go make disciples.
That's right.
And we haven't been discipled correctly.
No, we haven't.
So the church is basically fallen prey to the same sermon Sunday after summer based on evangelism and not based on discipleship.
That's right.
Amen. And so if we're undiscipled, which the majority of believers across America are, they have no ability to even critically think as a human being.
You don't know how to play the
because
game.
They don't teach critical thinking in school anymore. No. But the bottom line is the Spirit of God gives us a hypercritical spirit to be able to judge and understand and look at things from a whole perspective. Mm. And the only way we can do is being discipled in the Word of God in Christ by teachers, by folks that understand the nature of the walk with Jesus is about. So if we ask problematic, what's wrong with the church?
Mm.
It's that we have lost what our Lord Jesus told us to do. We stop being so focused on these issues and make disciples so that we'll have discerning, Spirit-filled people that can move forward with a mind of, I'm not going to trust any particular man.
Hey, folks.
I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God.
There's a whole lot of groaning going on.
Yeah.
See you on Monday.
Boom.